Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show, Fed but Firm, with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez and co-host John Zimmel for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys, let's touch them up. Clean fight. I'm Joe Cortez, Fed but Firm.
Hello and welcome to the Fed but Firm Show here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Here with my co-host John Zimmel. We'll be talking about happenings of last week in Madison Square Garden, the Mecca of boxing. We're talking about Gennady Golovkin, Triple G. Everybody knows him as Triple G, one of the most outstanding middleweights in most recent years. And of course, people always talk about Canelo Alvarez fight, the first one that ended up a draw, the second one Canelo took, and now they want to do a trilogy with Canelo. Canelo says, I'm finished with him, I already beat him, there's nothing to gain with him, I want to go up to the, he's going up two weight classes to fight Golovkin.
Sergey Kovalev. Kovalev.
I mean, Golovkin is going to be in some trouble with a light heavyweight champion of the world, one of the better ones out there. But Kovalev didn't do too well against Andrew Ward in most recent years and got stopped with body shots. And I think that's one of Canelo's most favorite techniques for use at night against the body punches.
Oh, yeah, Canelo is one of the most dynamic body punchers on the planet.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Undeniably. And he you know, favors hitting the body because you can see the way it works, you know, over time. I have a question. When you talk about how Canelo doesn't want that third fight, and I agree, and I think in his mind, he says, I've already done that. I've run that race. Whereas a lot of fans say, hey, man, you know, both fights were controversial. Why don't you close the book on this? How do you feel about Canelo not wanting that third fight?
Well,
do you feel like he should? I mean, he's going up to light heavyweight. He took on Danny Jacobs. It's not like he's, you know, hiding back fighting the kind of fights that Tyson Fury's fighting. I mean, he's just taking on different opponents. Do you think he owes it to the fans or owes it to the sport of boxing to complete that trilogy?
Well, I'm going to tell you how I feel about everything. He's trying to deal with DAZN, with Eddie Hearns, for a 10-fight package deal for $365 million. And so he's saying, okay, I've got that deal. I got it going. I want to flush. I think he wants to take back, when his records, he wants to have many world title belts than anybody else in the history of boxing. He's only 29 years young. So he's got still a good 7-8 years left in him.
Oh, plenty of time.
So he got plenty of time to continue. But the fans will always say, you know, the fight never took place, and they've both been retired, and we never got the chance to see. So I think to put a stop to that and make sure that they settle the score like Manny Pacquiao and Juan Manuel Marquez, it took four
Sometimes
fights.
Sometimes it takes more than one or more than two to really settle a score.
Yeah,
right?
So 1 minute Marquez came back in the fourth fight and knocked out Manny Pacquiao. Maybe that's what Triple G is looking at.
I think so, too.
I lost the first two fights, but the fans want to see the third one to settle the score once and for all.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I get that completely. I mean, and obviously there was a lot of issues with the contracts. He said, you know, when he signed with DAZN, he wouldn't take that third Triple G fight.
Yeah.
They promised DAZN a third Triple G fight, you know, his promotional team or
right.
management team.
Right.
Which, of course, makes, you know, some difficult situations. So you sign that saying, yes, I'll take a third Triple G fight when you obviously don't want one.
Right.
Now, on the other side of this, we have a Triple G who fought a war this weekend against Sergey Derevyanchenko, who is, you know, I mean, a good fighter, but he's not Canelo-class fighter. Do you think it would be worse for his legacy if he fights Canelo for a third time and gets, I mean, knocked out or stopped? I mean, the man's 37 years old.
Well, you know, he's got he don't have too much to go in boxing, so we all know that. When you're a certain age in boxing, you get old overnight, and the guys are ready to eat your easy picking.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, not many guys are like Bernard Hopkins or George Foreman at the age in their 40s. They become champions. Very few
Manny
fighters.
Pacquiao,
Manny Pacquiao is 40 years old. Look how good he looks. I mean, there's
Bernard Hopkins did it forever.
But Triple G is going to be. I think he's been in a lot of wars in the past.
If you were, I mean, let's say, okay. Obviously, he wants one big cash out before he leaves. Who wouldn't, right? I mean, the man's made a lot of money, but who wouldn't want to take another Canelo fight and make as much money as you can on the way out? But if you were, let's say, a loved one, if you were, would you think it'd be better for him to say, you know, take smaller fights, collect that DAZN money, and, you know, maintain, you know, defend your title against someone else? Or should he keep chasing the third Triple G or third Canelo fight? Because at the end of the day, I mean, that's really all it is. What if he fought, I don't know, there's not that many other people in their stable, though. That's the problem.
You know, you know, there's a lot of fans, especially his own country, Mexico, they really are not proud of him. For some reason
Canelo,
or another,
yes.
They're not proud of Canelo. So they say, if you fight Triple G, and let's say you want to shut everybody up, fight him. You say you're going to knock him out, fight him and knock him out, shut everybody up. Nobody can say that Triple G gave you the toughest fights and you barely won. The judges gave it to you because you're the
A-side.
You're the A-fighter and whatnot. I think you should fight Triple G, get that over with, shut everybody up, shut Canelo, Triple G up. And then, you know, and the fans will say, okay, he did it. You know, he didn't run away. He didn't fight a bunch of his own pickings out there, even though he can because he's already signed a contract.
And like I said, it's not like he's fighting, you know, I mean, yes, he fought Rocky Fielding. That was one fight. Yeah. It was to collect a 168-pound belt.
Right.
We forgave him for the one. If he'd lined up two or three Rocky Fieldings, we'd be saying, hey, you know what I mean? This guy's just collecting checks.
Yeah.
But no, he fought Danny Jacobs right after that. Now he's been number one pick has been going up to 175 to fight Sergey Kovalev. It's not like he's, you know, picking scrubs, you know.
But you know what they're gonna say? He beats Kovalev. They're gonna say he fought an old man.
Well, they'll say the same thing about Golovkin.
Yeah.
What if he beats Golovkin for the third time? They say, yeah, you lost to him twice. You finally beat him when he turned 38 years old.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there was a great fight.
You know, you can't please everybody, Joe. You know that better than anyone.
Yeah, I know. You can't please the fans no matter what. If you win, half of the fans are going to love you. And then no matter what, the other half percent, the other 50% are going to hate you no matter what.
That's boxing fans, man. They're going to discredit every win.
Yeah.
That guy's too old. That guy was too young. He wasn't ready. He's not the same guy as before. I mean, look, we saw with Manny Pacquiao just beat Keith Thurman, which is amazing. If Keith Thurman had beaten him, they'd have said, yeah, but you beat a 40-year-old Manny Pacquiao.
Right.
But Manny Pacquiao wins, and they say, yeah, but you beat an injury, you know, riddled Keith Thurman. Very rarely do two fighters in their absolute primes fight each other and get the exact outcome that everyone wants with zero controversy. That's just not this game. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. No, there's been a lot. You know, the middleweight division has brought up some great champions in the past. And the first one, we'll start with Sugar Ray Robinson.
Absolutely.
Marvin Hagler. You got Carlos Monzon, Jake LaMotta, Bernard Hopkins, Harry Gibbs, Triple G, Jenny Golovkin, Sugar Ray Leonard. And there have been so many, Tommy Hearns, Gene Fulmer, Marcelo Cerdan. So many great fighters in
the past. Where would you rank Triple G if he retired now, right?
Okay.
I mean, his two best fights were a draw and a loss to Canelo, but he also did, you know, he beat Danny Jacobs. He's been a champion for many years. Where would he, if he retired right now, with his career as it was, is he a top 15 middleweight of all time?
Well,
is he top 10?
No, I won't say not top 10. There's been other greater fighters than him.
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm asking.
But I say, you know, they'll say, okay, he was a good fighter. He's a candidate to be inducted into the International Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a Hall of Fame candidate for sure.
Oh, he's definitely.
I mean, and he's loved by everybody.
I think he's a for sure first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right? Yeah. And now, you know,
where does he rank as an all-time middleweight? Would you, maybe top 20? Top 25?
I would say the top 25. There's been a lot of great fighters out there.
A lot of great middleweights.
In our era, he's probably one of the best out there.
Oh, he's.
But when you start looking back at the names I mentioned before, Sugar Ray Robinson.
Of course.
You know,
Hearns, Hagler.
You can't compare this guy. Then you're not
Roy
the same.
Roy Jones at times.
Yeah, Roy Jones.
There's a lot of great ones.
Roy Jones is on our list of most, you know, famous best heavy middleweights of the world.
Oh, he was great in middleweight.
But they have according to the record, they got Golovkin above him.
Do they?
Yeah, and a lot of fighters, a lot of people will say
head to head. Who do you think wins that fight? Roy Jones versus Triple G.
Yeah, Roy Jones will definitely beat him. You know,
too, yeah.
they got Roy Jones all the way back here. Where they have, let's see, they have on the list here, they got Roy Jones all the way in the back here.
Yeah.
But I think that would be a good fight to see. I mean,
you watch a lot of those. I mean, who's the best middleweight historically that you could see Triple G beating?
Triple G beating some of the great ones?
I mean, who's the best one you could see him beating from back in the day? Look at, you see that list of all-time great middleweights?
Yeah. You got a lot of great ones out there. You got Tony Zell. Carmen Basilio. Can you imagine Carmen Basilio and
Triple G?
And Triple G, that'd be a war.
That's what's fun, man.
Yeah,
those two. Those guys are both, stand in the pocket and they hit, man.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
They're on back up. They're staying there. They all cut up. Like Jake LaMotta, come all cut up before Gene Fulmer. Sugar Ray Robinson six times. And those times, he came out all bloodied up, always a war.
Yeah.
And people don't kind of fight. People want to see they get knocked each other down.
Yeah, people love wars, man. I mean, that's what's entertaining about it.
Yeah, but I was talking to somebody yesterday, interview I was doing. I was talking about fighters taking all this punishment. And sometimes we see these fighters, they end up walking on their heels. They don't know where they are 10 years.
You see it all the time.
After they retire from boxing, I say the referee, you got to take more action and stopping a fight. I'd rather you stop a fight, a punch too soon than a punch too late. And the corner men, the trainers, and the managers, and the promoters, got to let these fighters know when it's time to hang them up.
Isn't it also sometimes just a fighter style? How many times have we seen fighter styles that are hit and get hit? They take punishment and they deliver more than they take.
You got this fighter, the Angulo.
Yeah.
You know, Angulo's a fine fighter. He'll take everything.
He'll take every shot you throw it. I mean, Triple G's been like that most of his career. He stands in the pocket, he takes shots.
And the people want to see him over and over again because he got a heart of a lion. They got guts. They don't care.
Well, that's what it is. People don't love defensive fighters. This isn't just a boxing thing. This is the same thing going on in football, same thing going on in basketball. Points scored and offense is what's exciting in every sport.
Yeah.
Defense isn't. So when you see a guy like a Floyd Mayweather or, Pernell Whitaker, they're not a lot of times fan favorites.
No, they don't like
because
them.
Because they're not – but – if you could be, if I was a professional boxer, if I had a choice between being Jake LaMotta or being Floyd Mayweather, I'd rather be Floyd Mayweather. I'd rather get hit less and make more money.
Exactly. And that's the name of the game. That's why they call it the sweet science of boxing. It's a sweet science.
Casual fans just want to see guys get their heads beat up.
You want to see guys get their heads beat up and everything? Go to MMA. Watch those guys. Yeah. I call that schoolyard fighting.
There's a lot of good. There's a lot of that. Hey, man. And it's, it's entertaining. It's entertaining.
People love it.
Of course. You're watching men fight in a cage.
Especially,
but it's not this.
Especially the younger generation. They like to see the schoolyard fight in MMA. I'm not taking nothing away from these guys. They got their own skills and whatnot. But when you see when you see them, they're kicking each other and they're flipping each other around and whatnot. You see that in the schoolyard fighting. In boxing, you see the sweet science. Hit, don't get hit, move, get those punches out the way, keep moving. Try not to get hit, and you'll be around a lot longer.
Absolutely. It's just like anything else. MMA incorporates a million different disciplines.
Yeah.
And so it does look, it's harder to, as opposed to one single discipline like boxing, like Muay Thai, like whatever it is. When you see two guys who are specialists at that one thing, it's a truly beautiful thing to watch two guys who, it's a chess match with fists.
Yeah, but that fight Saturday night, two of the judges had it 115, 112.
Yes.
And one judge had it 114, 113. Yeah. And it was close, not kind of a close
fight. Is that how you scored it, something like that?
Yeah.
Close win for Gennady?
Yeah, it was very close. Yeah. Very tough fight for him, but he pulled it out. But the fans, they always go with the underdog. He came out of nowhere, and look what he did to Triple G.
Look, bro, anytime an underdog overperforms, everybody screams robbery. Yeah. I said it last week with Sean Porter. I said it this week with, Derevyanchenko. I said it back with Fury Wilder. Yes, I scored it for Fury, but when an underdog overperforms, everybody's so quick to scream robbery so fast because they did better. Expectations are not weighed into the judging of a fight. They're weighed into how you see it. They're not weighed into how judges score it.
Right. I still say you guys got to go online and look to the Cortez 2020 system, and you'll see where I raise the judges up higher. They look down into the ring. They got a better view of the punches that are being landed. I bet you that some of the judges that scored the fight Saturday, they missed maybe 30-40% of the punches because of the position that they're in. But if you raise them a little higher, they look down, they can see. That's why at home, you guys see a better fight at home because you got the cameras up
above.
Very
much so, yes.
And you get watch all the angles. That's why I say in tennis, they got the umpire sitting up on a high chair looking down to see the lines. They did that right from the beginning. In boxing, they did it wrong from the beginning. The judges should have been up higher, not sitting here with the referees in the way, the ropes in the way, the lights
can't
are in
see
the
anything,
way,
brother,
the
yeah.
angle of the fighters. You miss a lot of punches. But up here, you're going to catch everything. But we did a study, and nobody's doing anything. I tell them, Mauricio Suleiman told me in Mexico City when I went to give a seminar there 2 years ago, and he told me, we're going to do it in Mexico. We're going to do it with the four-round fight. We're going to do the experiment. And then they said, wait a minute, how about the chairs? The chairs could be blocking the view of the fans. I said, simple. I got a solution for that. We'll build acrylic chairs like they do in tennis, but they make acrylic. You can see through them. So fans can't complain. And that'd be the way to go, I think if we were to put that system into place, it'll be a good thing for the betterment of the sport. Less controversial fights.
What about the ideas? And by the way, I agree. I'm all for anything that increases visibility for the judges. I'm all for anything. I mean, I'm only speaking from a fan standpoint, how they're always quick to yell robbery. A lot of times it isn't so. Unfortunately, though, I'm all for anything that where, I mean, I've heard arguments for having five judges instead of three judges. I've heard arguments for maybe the judges sitting in a room watching the cameras on, you know, on television as opposed, or not on television, but on their own screens, so they'll be able to see what we see.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm all for any kind of increased visibility. I just don't like how fight fans are so quick to scream robbery instead of appreciating what they saw right in front of them. It happens far too often, and a lot of times it's because of, you know, people overperforming expectations.
I said it from over 8 years ago that when I did the study, I've been saying it, you want to have less controversial fights, change the position of the judges. Once you do that, you're going to see any more controversial decisions. And if you do, then something's wrong with the judges.
Yeah, I mean, or it's just the fans' perspective on it, right?
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of times people are quick to scream robbery when there's no when there's no robbery.
Yeah, yeah. But many fans at the ringside with the Canelo, with the Triple G fight, a lot of fans ringside, even the promoter, Lou DiBella, he was very upset. He thought his fighter beat a Triple G, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of fans felt the same way, you know, but... again, that's something to be determined because you got the underdog. He looks
yeah,
so
that's
good.
What happens, man. You know, you go, oh, he did better than I thought. So he must have. I scored it for him, and it's like you can't carry that in. You know.
Yeah. But I think, do you think that these fighters deserve a rematch? You think Rechecko deserves a rematch?
For I don't know.
I mean, if he doesn't get the rematch, where does he go from
there? Well, here's my real question: who else is Triple G going to fight? He's got to fight someone in DAZN, and DAZN only has Canelo, Triple G, Andrade, and Derevyanchenko.
And don't they have Danny Jacobs?
Oh, they do have Danny Jacobs. He could fight a rematch with Danny Jacobs if he wanted to. But Danny Jacobs said he's going up to 168.
168, well, you know, he's not
getting... So I'm saying, I mean, it wouldn't even be a bad idea. Basically, Triple G's just trying to stay busy until Canelo Trilogy comes around. So I'd rather see him fight, well, I'll tell you this, I'd rather see him fight Derevyanchenko again and see, have him fight Steve Rolls again or somebody like that.
Right, right.
I mean, no disrespect to Steve Rolls, but he's just not on that championship level.
Yeah, okay. And now we got a very near future. Next couple of weeks, I know that can be a little dead, but then we got Luis Ortiz.
Yeah, we've had, you know, we have these little comes in waves this year. We've had some big spurts.
We got some peaks and valleys, but we know that next 3 weeks from now, we'll be seeing Deontay Wilder fighting rematch against Luis Ortiz. They call him Luis King Kong Ortiz. He's a very difficult fighter. He gave Deontay Wilder a run for his money in the first fight.
It was the closest he's been to being hurt, closest he's been to being out.
That's right. He was out on his feet.
Yeah, his legs were wobbling.
He was wobbling. I said, oh, but there you go. There goes a big fight with him and Anthony Joshua.
And it turns out,
he didn't get stopped, but who got stopped? Anthony Joshua.
And we got a rematch of that one to close out the year. We got Canelo Kovalev on November 2nd.
Yeah.
I mean, this year has given us so many peaks and valleys. It started off with a bang, went a little low. Came in right around the quarter mark, had a lot of, you know, big fights. We obviously got Joshua Ruiz won, all these amazing fights. Then now we just followed up with Spence Porter, you know, Triple G, all these amazing fights right now. Manny Pacquiao versus Keith Thurman.
Yeah.
Now we have another, like, 2 weeks of a little lull. Gives us time to digest. I think fight fans need it. Calm down a little bit. And then we're going to end the year with a bang. This might be the best year we've had of boxing since we started doing this. This has been exciting.
Yeah. And you know, in 2020, going to be even bigger.
It's been amazing.
It'll be bigger because, you know, all
the stars are bigger.
A couple of years ago, it was the lighter divisions, the 105-pounder, Chocolatito Gonzalez.
Yeah, we talked Superfly back then, remember?
Yeah, Superfly. And now they're out of the picture. The welterweight division started stirring up.
Finally, those dominoes are falling.
Yeah, then the heavyweight division exploded with Deontay Wilder. And
Tyson Fury came back.
Tyson Fury, I think, woke everybody up again. And that's why
then Andy Ruiz shook everybody up.
Andy Ruiz punched hurt around the world. It was something like the fight that referee George Foreman when he knocked out Michael Moore.
Punched hurt around the
Andy world. Ruiz versus Anthony Joshua was similar to that.
Yes.
You know, it was that kind of a shockwave around the world. Andy Ruiz knocks out Anthony Joshua. He was saying that we hope that Deontay Wilder doesn't lose against Luis Ortiz because of the big fight they were looking to match up, Joshua and Deontay Wilder. So what happened? Wilder almost got bumped off, didn't. He stayed on the saddle, and now Joshua gets bumped off, and they go to Joshua-Deontay Wilder fight. So now we're going to see what's going to happen now with the rematch.
I was thinking about it the other day. We made a list of dream fights a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago. We made a list of five dream fights we wanted to see.
Right.
I think the number one was Anthony Joshua versus Deontay Wilder. Then it was Terrence Crawford versus Errol Spence.
Right.
Then it was Mikey Garcia versus Lomachenko. And then I can't remember the fourth one, and then it was Keith Thurman versus anybody. And at this point, now we know who Keith Thurman is. He's been not exposed, but we know that he's not the same Keith Thurman as we had before. We still want to see Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford. But those other fights, I mean, Mikey Garcia versus Lomachenko is never happening. We got to factor in the, you know, Deontay Wilder versus Anthony Joshua is no longer the super fight we once thought it would be.
Right.
It might still happen, and it would still get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Well, but it's not the number one fight on fighters'
minds. It's just like, I remember you talking about they were never the same. You're talking about Keith Thurman when he came back because of the injuries and whatnot.
He's 2 years out of being injured.
I mean, when Tyson got locked up, he was incarcerated for 3 years. I mean, he came out. I mean, he still was kicking some butt.
Yeah, but he wasn't the same. He wasn't as good. And also, he wasn't injured.
He was locked up. And then you got Muhammad Ali when he refused to go to the military.
Banned for 2 years?
He was banned for 3 years, three and a half years. And he came back. He was.
His style was a little different.
They stopped him from fighting in the prime of his career.
So dirty, man.
I mean, when he came back 3.5 years later, he still was out there. He fought Mike. Jerry Quarry was his first opponent on the comeback trail, but he lost his best years, you know, when he was suspended from boxing.
Undeniably lost his best years, lost the prime of his life, maybe the greatest athlete we've ever seen as far as, like, impact, fame, and just overall personality and performance.
I mean,
he's larger than life.
I was around him during that era when he was really at the top of his game, when he had just won the heavyweight championship. One day, I had my daughter Christine with me, and I had her in my arms, and he took her out of my arms, and he grabbed her, and she was like petrified because she didn't know who this guy was that was holding him.
Of course.
And she would only knew that he was the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
As far as a lot of fans are concerned, the greatest heavyweight in the history of boxing. But I remember seeing Muhammad Ali floating around in the public, in the lobbies of the hotel, messing around with the fans. And he'd go in his pocket, he'd take out a handkerchief, and he would go like this, you know, and he'd go like this, and he makes it disappear. Like, where did it go, you know? He does stuff like that. And people say, oh, my God, that was Muhammad Ali back in the day.
He was larger than life, not just in the ring, but outside of it. The guy was everywhere.
They still talk about him these days.
Oh, my God.
He's probably one of the
HBO just had that big two-part documentary that came out last year. I mean, this guy was that big. I don't know if there's many or any other athletes that had the same impact that he did. I don't think ever there will be because of just, you know, the way that he came in, the time that he came in, you know, just right when sports journalism was first starting to ramp up, and the way that he made, you know, kicked the door down in America and the whole world and said, look, this is who I am.
But he was such a special man, you
My
know?
God, yes.
Yeah, he's so special.
More charisma than anyone
and more.
I mean, just – the guy believed in what he believed in to the point that he was willing to risk everything to
believe. If he would do stuff, he'd go like this. He'll say, you know what, come here. He'll pull this out of your ear. Say, well, how the hell did that happen, you know? And if people would be looking, that was Muhammad Ali for you, you know? He was just a character that you would say, man, this guy has so much charm and so much charisma about him. Yeah. Everybody loved him. Wherever he went, people loved him. And that's what I like to see, you know. That guy was amazing. Not only in boxing, but around the world. I like to get people all together. I was doing an interview yesterday. They said, Joe, you had some of the great fighters that you refereed. If you used to get Marvin Hagler, Sugar Ray Leonard, and let's say Tommy Hearns all together, you were with these guys in the ring. Just what would you do with these guys? I said, I would embrace them, put my arms around all of them. We would all hug each other. We go put a towel over our heads and cry like babies and say, thank God for the moment we gave our fans in boxing. You know, it is something special, you know, that you like to, like, share that those moments that you, as a fan, you see that ringside, you watch these guys, you feel like you love them. They're part of your family. You come to watch them, and every punch they take, you kind of feel it yourself. Mm-hmm. You see yourself jumping when these guys get hit with a punch, and that's the way it is in real life. You know, we see people, we feel for them, and we love them, and we want to help them and get everybody on the right. At least that's how I feel anyway. But that's boxing, and that's it's a great sport. And it's a loving sport. We're in the hurt business, but yet at the end, we always embrace each other.
Absolutely.
And show our love for each other, you know?
That's beautiful, Joe. That's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. So we got three big fights coming up towards the end of the year. Three more major ones.
Right.
We got, like I said before, Ruiz Joshua 2. We got Ortiz Wilder 2. And we have Canelo Kovalev. Which one of those are you most excited for?
Well, I'll tell you, I'd like to see Ortiz or Wilder.
Really?
Yeah,
that was the underdog. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, because, you know, They fought our first time, man.
It was a phenomenal fight.
Yeah, and Luis Ortiz is what, 98 years old?
He's, I think, listed 98, but yeah, they round down.
But let me tell you, that guy, as old as he is, man, he kicks a butt.
And he's got those Cuban fundamentals down, man. The guy, he'll still be able to, you know.
And he's a southpaw, too.
Yes.
And the guy's about, what, 6'2"?
Yeah, he's tall. Three? I mean, he's not Wilder, but he's tall. I mean, he's not a little guy.
Yeah, he's not a little guy, but he gave Wilder a run for his money in that fight they had last year. And a lot of fans said, oh, my God, don't stop him, because then there goes that big fight we're waiting for.
That Joshua payday.
Yeah, that Joshua payday. He said, no, I can't lose. I can't lose. And he got it. He lucked out. He was able to stop Ortiz in the 10th round.
He did. That big uppercut, man. People forget what a big uppercut. That was pretty amazing. Yeah. You know, he's known for just his straight right or his overhand looping right.
Yeah,
but he finished Ortiz with an uppercut.
Those wild punches that he throws, they're kind of wild. That's why they named him when he was born at birth.
That's true.
Wilder.
That is true. That's why
Deontay Wilder, because he is the wildest guy out there throwing those punches.
That's why they named Tyson Fury, because he's so angry all the time. You see him at WrestleMania this weekend?
Who's that?
Tyson Fury?
What happened? what did you tell me about it?
One of the wrestlers, Braun Strowman, I think is his name, and I don't watch wrestling. I learned about it because I was watching this video over and over again. He got out of the ring to go taunt Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury climbed over the thing to go after him, and all the security had to hold him back.
Right?
I mean, it was all just a big, WWE drama show. Well, but it's always fun when you see that, man.
You know what? He may end up doing that at the end of
the career. He probably will,
I mean, Joe Louis did it. A couple of great champions. So many great champions retired, and they went into wrestling.
Floyd Mayweather went and fought the Big Show at the end of his career. That's true. That you see it all the time where these guys, a lot of fighters, former fighters, ended up doing a stint. You know, you see it with basketball players. I think Karl Malone did it, and Dennis Rodman did it. A lot of guys do it. It would be fun. Tyson Fury would be a great personality in there.
He would. There's no question about it. I mean, he definitely has a second career. And then again, he could go to singing. Yeah. Guy has a tremendous voice. That man can sing.
He does.
There's a man, though, that I respect from the bottom of my heart for coming back. He hit rock bottom, and he came. He couldn't go no place else. He went back up to the top, and look where he's at.
He will be known. What he's known for more than anything is his ability to not be knocked down, whether it's by Deontay Wilder or kept down. You know, whether it's by Deontay Wilder's big right hand, it's by life, whether it's by his own, mental health issues.
Your own personal life, yeah.
Exactly. He is one guy who, I mean, when you feel like you're in a situation in life where you're knocked down and you can't get up, or you hit rock bottom, and you just remember how no matter what, Tyson Fury finds a way to keep getting up, keep striving. And, whether you like him or dislike him, the man has got more drive and motivation than in his little finger than I could ever dream to have. The guy is just unbelievable.
Yeah, so it's not when you lose, it's when you quit. The guy can't quit.
He's got no quit.
There's no quitting in Tyson Fury.
What's Rocky talking about is not how you get knocked down, it's how you get back up every time. That guy has been knocked down and gotten back up over and over and over again.
It's not getting knocked down, it's getting back up. You don't want to quit. The only time you lose is when you quit. But these fighters don't believe in quit. They want to keep getting up and keep going and going. That's why sometimes you need a referee in there to help stop them, or even their own quarterman stop the fight, because these fighters don't want to quit. They don't know what it means to quit. They say, I get knocked down, but you know what? I'm getting back up. Mm-hmm. That's how they feel. That's the attitude of a fighter. And that's why some fighters sometimes it goes against them sometimes. But I think that in boxing we should always remember, we got to protect these fighters. At least my way of thinking is protecting these fighters like if they're my own sons or daughters. You got so many females in boxing today as well that are doing so well.
Yeah, did you see what happened at the weigh-in last weekend?
Yeah, with Shirella. Shirella Keels and her family, trainer.
Her trainer got, there was a little scuffle, between the other girl's dad and Clarissa, and it was, and the trainer got, I guess, hit from behind. The back of his head got, was bleeding. I don't know exactly.
They broke his cheekbone.
What do you think about stuff like that, man? I've seen a lot of dust-ups at press conferences,
I saw it online where Carissa Shields asked for the apologies for what happened that day at the weigh-in before the fight. You see this guy laying on the floor. They took him out by ambulance.
Rough stuff, man, yeah.
Taken by ambulance. He's a senior guy in his 70s. Get hit like that, end up going to the hospital. No need for that.
I mean, there's almost always some kind of dust up at the face-off or weigh-in. It gets people, excited. They've proven that, you're more likely to buy a fight or watch a fight if you see them, you know, do a dust up. But when you have a trainer who's, you know, bleeding out of his head, or when it escalates beyond a certain point, that's when obviously that can't happen.
It can't happen. And I think people, they should be suspended. Get to the guy who did that. If he's licensed in that state, suspend him.
Yes, agreed.
Indefinitely.
Yes.
You know, this
like
way.
Like they did with Roger Mayweather after the Zab Judah fight.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
So if a guy who's in part of your team is a problem, then the athletic commission of that state should, you know, rectify that problem.
Exactly. Panama Lewis, a trainer for a fighter, that Luis Resto, back in the days in Madison Square Garden, back in the 80s, Panama Lewis took the horsehair of the boxing glove,
yes,
outside of Luis Resto's gloves, and he damaged Billy Collins pretty bad. Didn't knock him out, but he was all discombobulated after the fight, and Billy Collins was so upset with the results. He ended up drinking and whatnot. One day he was drinking so much, he got to his car and died, got killed. They took these from the Panama Lewis and Luis Resto right in the ring. They arrested them right there, took him back to the dressing room. They were incarcerated, and Panama Lewis was suspended for life, as well as Luis Resto. So these are the kind of things that we'd like to
That's
see.
That's why we have state athletic commissions.
Yeah, and we got the inspectors in there, and these commissioners got to make sure that we don't have these face-downs like they do at these press conferences or media conference. Where do you guys get into each other? Sometimes what'll happen, somebody's going to get hurt, and the main event is going to go down the drain. There will be no main event. You say, they got to start doing something about this.
I agree 100%, Joe.
Okay, buddy. So anyway, I want to say thank you for listening to our show today, and we'll talk to you next week. Like I tell you all every week, my finishing lines is be good, pay forward, love everyone out there, and remember, keep your guards up at all times and protect yourselves at all times. I'm fair, but I'm firm. Touch him up.
Fair but firm with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys. Let's touch him up. Clean fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair but firm.